Welcome to ASI Cast number 183. I'm Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director, and joining me is Catherine Page, who chaired the joint session at our recent ASI conference in Venice. So hello, Catherine.
Hi, Richard.
Now, in today's podcast, we're going to break our usual format, and rather than me interviewing Catherine, we're going to jointly reflect on our main takeaways from the conference, which, as we're recording this, is just over 2 weeks ago. So hopefully it's fresh enough in our minds for us to remember what happened. So this will be more of a chat than an interview. If you weren't able to join us in Venice, then hopefully we can bring you up to speed on the main issues. And if you were in Venice, then let us know what you think we've missed or anything that you violently disagree with.
So, Richard, one of the things that you do is a really rather wonderful scene setter when you take us through what you think will be the main issues and themes we'll be discussing. And you do this at the towards the beginning of the conference, so it was in my session. So in 5 minutes, you took us through a whole range of themes, and we thought it'd been quite nice to reflect on some of those. So I suppose a really good place to start would be some of the terminology, media terminology we use, and the potential for some of that to get quite confusing when used in different ways. You mentioned it this year, you mentioned it the year before, you probably mentioned it the year before that. So I suppose my question was, how did we do in the conference? Were we using confusing terminology, or is it getting any clearer?
I think it is getting a bit clearer. I focused on two main different types of definitions. There's the how we define and categorize the media that we're measuring, and then there's how we actually use media measurement terminology. I think in terms of the media, one of the main challenges is that we still can tend to define things by what they were, how they started, as opposed to what they are now. Thankfully, we don't hear the word terrestrial television much anymore, because it really wouldn't mean much to anyone under the age of 40 that some broadcasters predate digital and streaming. But equally, the word broadcaster is still used quite a lot, and it makes sense. But as Glance mentioned in their presentation, the broadcasters are now acting as streamers, and the streamers are now acting as broadcasters. So I think we can get a bit too obsessed with categorising stuff from where it came from as opposed to where it's going. But that's easier said than done, because there's political reasons why, you know, some people will want to categorise certain types of media as implying that they're legacy or the past. But generally, I think we are moving in the right direction on that. In terms of measurement definitions, I think there's still quite a lot up in the air. Impressions was one of the things I highlighted as still leaving me scratching my head. As in my mind, and I may be wrong, but an impression is the successful delivery of a stream or an advert to a device. Yeah, it's still up in the air at that stage whether the person watching it was the demographic that it was targeted to be from logins or whatever. And also it's up in the air whether there was only one person watching it. Sorry? I heard Mike there. Mike suddenly appeared. Had he not muted?
I was muted. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's your problem. You're going to have to edit mid-sentence now. But it's still up in the air how many people were actually in front of that device, if that device was a connected TV. And increasingly, the majority of video, certainly VOD, is being consumed on connected TV. So I think that still, it still leaves me scratching my head when people talk about moving to impressions, because that to me almost seems like moving slightly further back from an audience to the building block from an audience. But I don't know what you think. But
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we need building blocks, but I think it's being absolutely clear what those building blocks are.
Yeah, definitely. Now, in your session, we heard about a number of initiatives around standards that in a panel that was hosted by Yannick Carrier of Medimetry. Some of those are being driven by regulation. Some of these are being driven by an acknowledged need for better international alignment. Where do you think the best places, what's the best mechanism for taking these forwards, other than obviously discussing these at ASI every year, of course?
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought this was such an important conversation to have. And as you said, there was two bits. So we had there was a panel looking really at the more global perspective, but we also had a paper that Stuart Wilkinson of Kantar took us through, looking at the European regulation that's coming in particular, the European Media Freedoms Act and the Article 24 as it relates to audience measurement. Which might be worth just saying that that basically recognises the self-regulatory bodies in respect of audience measurement, so the JIC-like bodies versus proprietary audience measurement, and is basically wanting to have more transparency or a more equivalent level of transparency, should we say, where the proprietary systems have to disclose their methods, have to be audited once a year, and so forth. So I think this has prompted a lot of conversation. It's prompted the setup of the Audience Measurement Coalition in Europe to address some of these issues and be a voice for audience measurement. It's also raising some questions. I know one of the questions is for the smaller markets. Smaller perhaps in terms of financial investment, what does this mean? Because not all JICs do actually audit every year, so what does it mean for them? But I think you're right to raise the question, when we're thinking more globally, because of course it's not just about Europe, the pressure to align is becoming much stronger. And where's that happening? I have to say at the moment it would tend to be happening under the auspices of the MRC in the States. We now have a situation where quite a number of the European JICs have actually become members of the MRC. So obviously that's news about Barb doing that earlier in the year, but also SIM, the Belgian JIC, the Italian and German TV JICs, and so forth. But I think I think it's worth, if the MRC is going to be where global standards are discussed, maybe we need to kind of have a more formal conversation about how that's going to work and the processes and protocols about that. Sort of an interesting parallel for me is what happened with out of home. So earlier in this year, the MRC released some new guidelines for out of home media measurement. At the moment, those would be typically around visually adjusted contacts. So they're actually bake in what is the likelihood of people actually have seen the advertising. It's almost an attention method included. And actually, the MRC guidelines were going back to impressions. So it's a bit to the point you were just making. Now, my understanding is that there's going to be further stages of this, and the MRC have deliberately taken the decision to start with the lowest value metrics, if you like, and then work up to audience. But it's obviously in the concept of what's already established. I think it's reasonable for there to be a bit of a reaction to that, and it's maybe reasonable to start questioning, okay, how do we want these processes to work in a global setting?
It's good. It's a really good point that when the MRC guidelines in that specific instance were published, was it acknowledged whether they were US guidelines or international guidelines?
Yeah, I think this is exactly the sort of question we need to, have a bit more clarity on, because I'm not sure what the answer to that question is.
And how they were derived and whether international markets were looked at or not. I mean, I think the MRC, as most people know, was set up by Congress in the US in the absence of a JIC to keep Nielsen and Arbitron honest, as it were, by overseeing what they were doing, and then other measurement suppliers as well. But if they are going to be increasingly be setting the standards internationally, then I'd argue they need to effectively review their whole governance in terms of, who is in charge of the MRC. I know people can, like Barb, have joined the MRC, but I'm not unsure as to, going forward, who would own it. If it's going to be, at times it's, some friends of mine went to see, an American football match played in the UK, and that was great, but they were aware they were watching American football match, didn't they? I mean, it's not, it's not that relevant to other countries. It's more of a spectator. So I think if the MRC is going to be an international body, then one of my takeaways from the conference was that I think they governance of it is going to become an issue, because people need to feel, if they're buying into these standards, that they have a sense of joint ownership of them. So
No,
that's
I absolutely agree, and I think there's a whole conversation that the industry maybe needs to have around this, so that there's more clarity on these things.
I mean, it's great that people are doing these things, and I know that SIM is the coalition, the in Council for Innovative Media Measurement is holding an event in Europe and looking to expand into Europe. But again, SIM is part of the Advertising Research Foundation, which is a US organization. So again, it's looking at making these organizations feel more international. I think that's particularly important at the moment, given what's going on in the States politically at the moment, that there isn't a feeling this is a that we're reliant on a US US-led approach to doing things.
So I mean, it's great. I think the real positive is that these conversations are happening, but it's now, I think, perhaps moving on to greater clarity about representation and governance. So going
Definitely.
back to your summary, Richard, I think another of the key things that comes up is the thorny issue of agreement on metrics. So I'm interested to hear your conclusions about where we got to, if anywhere, on that subject.
It was actually pretty interesting on that front. I mean, clearly, one of the big bones of contention around metrics has been on the, again, going back to the MRC, the WFA adoption of the MRC definition of, an exposure, which, the 2 seconds visibility ruling that has been adopted. And up to now, that not been seen as acceptable to broadcasters. I'm using that term again, but it's the easiest term to use, who are largely the driving forces behind the international TV jigs, who were concerned that that was effectively too low a minimum, for the power of TV advertising to be correctly represented. Now, at the event, on the panel that we referenced earlier in your session, Justin from Barb did announce, I think that's the right phrase, but did reference that Barb were now going to move towards second by second measurement. And obviously, Barb have joined the MRC, so that the implication there is that they would be moving to a minimum 2 seconds definition as well. Now, that has subsequently been confirmed in some press articles, which I won't go into because those articles may soon be out of date, but there is a direction of travel in them. And it's interesting that at the moment at which Barb had moved on metrics, or seemed to have moved on metrics, towards what the original WFA mission was, it seems, based on the Origin presentation that we had in Venice, that they are now moving below 2 seconds, that the objective is to make all impressions available, even at a sub 2 second level, and then users can decide what they want to do. So there is a certain irony that had Barb moved, 4 years ago, just after Origin launched, then some of the objections that the broadcasters have would not now exist. But in the meantime, the goalposts have moved in terms of what the WFA is doing. So it feels a bit like back to square one. And there does seem to be, in the last couple of days, talk of something grandly called the Covent Garden compromise, which is that somehow Origin will release 2 sets of data, one of which will include Barb data and will adhere to the 2 second minimum, and one of which that won't adhere to that will be much lower in terms of seconds, but will not include Barb data, but an alternative to Barb data. So I'm scratching my head a bit as to how that would work. But one of the most interesting presentations on that was actually from Sameer Moda of ITV, who effectively said, can we stop agonizing about all this stuff and just focus on outcomes? That's what really matters. I agree with him up to a point. It certainly matters for advertisers, but that we need to not be too obsessed with the fact that advertising drives measurement, because many other things drive measurement as well. It's about subscriptions, it's about programming, it's about content distribution around the world. It's not just about, so if we only move to outcome, quite where that would leave the BBC, I am not entirely sure. Probably going off and doing their own thing. But it's interesting that a lot of the outcomes we saw at the conference, I mean, particularly in the radio conference, for example, were related to either search or sales. The more measurable outcomes. Obviously, the challenge is that if your outcome is more long-term brand building, that's something that you need a panel for, or some form of ongoing attitudinal measurement, which I know is something we're going to come on to.
No, I do agree. I think when we're talking about outcomes, again, it's one of those terminology things. We need to be really clear about what the outcomes are that we're talking about, because there's such a range and such a range of ways of measuring them. And there were a number of papers that dealt with that. So really important to have clarity. And I suppose for me on the metrics, I can't see a future where we won't have a number of metrics alongside one another. But it's all, as we've been talking about, it's all about clarity. It's all about having clarity about what the definitions are, understanding what the implications are. So, I mean, for me, one of the papers I particularly reference is the Mediametry paper, where they were looking at what are the practical implications of comparing the MRC cross media standard with TV GRPs with online impressions. And they have a very nice, elegant chart showing the various implications of that. So absolute clarity, and absolute clarity in the reporting as well. What is it we're reporting? Has it been audited? Who has audited it? And to what standards? So that at least if we do have multiple metrics, we really understand what they are and the meaning of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the clear conclusions from the panel that I hosted on the Thursday afternoon about hybrid measurement was the universal agreement that quality panels do still matter, that whether you're using them for calibration or whether you're using them for currency, that data science is not just a replacement for panels. I mean, I know that's something you've been very focused on in various roles working with the GICS.
No, I absolutely agree. I think this is one of the areas where there was strongest consensus coming out, and it was music to my ears, really, the importance of quality. And that, absolutely all of our, solutions require data, and data is absolutely crucial going forward. We're not going to have solutions without data. But the role of the panel is still very important. As you say, whether it is a currency panel or it's a calibration panels are not, necessarily requiring, a lesser quality. Obviously, what's important is the use case and understanding what the quality measures are relevant to that use case, and that might make some differences. But absolutely, data science is not a substitute for quality. And in fact, I think that point was made very nicely at the end of the conference by Andrea from Data Breeders, that data science requires good panels. And the other thing I thought was really interesting coming out was that much more acceptance of synthetic data as a major tool going forward, in order to combine all these various data streams with potentially panel or in some cases survey data in a privacy safe environment. So I think some of the perhaps question marks when those techniques were emerging, I mean, they've been around in all honesty for a long while, but I think they're used on a much greater scale now than they were. I think there's much more acceptance now of that as a method going forward.
Yeah, it definitely seems to have moved the dial. I mean, a few people I've been speaking to subsequently on people's understanding of what the advantages of synthetic synthetic data could be, and perhaps corrected some misapprehensions about what it actually is, as opposed to just being entirely made up data, as it were, that it could well be a third way, as it were. The panel I was hosting was about, primarily about should we be leading with panels and adding big data to panels, or should we be leading with big data and adding panels to calibrate big data? Whereas actually, perhaps actually taking both sets of data and combining them into synthetic data sets could be the way forward. I mean, that was all pretty positive stuff. I think one of the more challenging things that was acknowledged at the conference was the challenges that panels have got being high quality in terms of recruitment, in terms of balance, include in terms of the representative of younger adults. I mean, we had a paper from TVision, which was a study commissioned by SIIM, which was a paper with which I agreed with the conclusion, but not how they actually got to it. I mean, what it was highlighting is that panels do have a challenge in correctly representing younger audiences. I think most people would acknowledge that, but the approach, which was to get TVision to try and replicate what a power push button panel would work, seemed a bit strange to me, given that the companies like Kantar and Nielsen have had 30, 40 years of experience in managing panels. So asking a company that has, to be honest, a vested interest in traditional panels not working properly to try and replicate that approach seemed a bit strange. So I was left in a strange position of agreeing with what they were saying, but not how they were saying it. But I guess it's not just younger adults that are one of the challenges with panels, is it?
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's absolutely right to be concerned about younger adults, and I mean that's not a new issue. One of the kind of newer things that worries me is the lower social grade. So I think we're also struggling now to recruit them for panels and survey tasks. So I think generally we need much more attention to this, and particularly moving away from a kind of one size fits all approach. So I was quite one of the papers I particularly enjoyed was Jacob Wieland from Nielsen talking about different recruitment approaches and tailoring them to the particular situations, having different narratives for different types of respondent and so forth. And I think generally as an industry we need to be, much more willing to have different strategies and vary our approaches.
Definitely,
So
definitely.
I suppose where would you say, obviously we've got progress on the panels front and synthetic data, but where else would you say that most progress is being made?
I'd definitely say, and it was reflected in how we organised the conference this year, that the use of ad server data is definitely something where there is a lot of momentum at the moment. We actually had a whole session, I mean, not focused just on ad server, but how ad server data can be combined with panels and other data sources to actually move us on in terms of post-campaign evaluation systems. And Jeff Eales, I think, was the only presenter to do an a cappella presentation with no slides at all. Jeff Eales of Sky did comment that he was really surprised at how much progress had been made, even just in the last year, in terms of what the various presentations we had from companies, Nielsen, Audience Project, Data Breeders, etc., were doing in terms of actually moving and taking that data. I think there are two challenges there. One is that I think we ASI would like to hear a lot more from the ad tech side of the business on that, the people who are actually involved in that. And secondly, we are entering a new world in which we're going to be increasingly reliant on other people's data. When in a world of panels, we could lovingly look after them like a farmer would tend its fields every day and water them and grow them and be carefully look after them. Whereas when you're reliant on APIs from other companies for whom, measurement understandably isn't the priority, suddenly either the data isn't there or something shifts and you don't realize it. So I think that's definitely one of the challenges going forward, is how to navigate that new world where as much auditing data that we're receiving as we are creating it in the first place.
No, I think that's right, and I agree with you. I think the post-evaluation tools was one really exciting area of development, and also kind of more holistic approach to the pre and post campaign analysis. So yeah, that definitely seemed to be going well.
So what do you think, looking forward, what do you think are the big priorities, the things that we will be talking about at next year's conference?
Well, I mean, one thing that's really interesting to me is where we go next with Origin. And I suppose particularly actually the cross-media piece. So obviously the attention so far has been very much on cross-platform video. But it was one of the things that was talked about at the conference was that, the potentially other media would become part of Origin. And that raises all sorts of question marks. I mean, it's setting a lot of expectations running at the moment. It raises all sorts of question marks because, of course, there are different measurements to somehow incorporate. And so I think it would be really interesting to understand more about, what the actual time frame for that is, what's involved. I mean, there was some caveats expressed in terms of, we'll have to prioritize in terms of what's important to advertisers. So I think it would be really helpful to start understanding what the roadmap for that looks like.
Yeah, definitely. I think Origin is obviously something that was unveiled at the ASI conference 5 years ago now in 2019 in Prague. And so it's something we've been keenly tracking and hope is going to succeed. I think one of my possible regrets about this year's event was that the papers from Origin and from YouTube were just before lunch, and we didn't really have that long a session to actually unpack some of the challenges and issues around that. I think it obviously it's disappointing they don't have public data yet, 5 years on. I think there have been understandable political issues, and I'm kind of reminded of the anecdote about a guy who is walking around a small village in Ireland looking a bit lost and goes up to one of the locals and says, "How do I get to Dublin?" And the local looks at him and says, "Well, I wouldn't start from here for one." And there's an element of that, I do think, in hindsight, with the WFA initiative, in that getting Google and Facebook on board first, effectively, and being seen rightly or wrongly by subsequently by the broadcasters, be imposing a system on them. And I'm not saying I agree with that statement, but there is definitely a feeling that reluctance to be brought into this system as opposed to something that has been co-created. Even if there are, it's claimed to be co-created, there's definitely a perception that it's something that is being imposed by the advertisers and the new media companies. And that, whereas, had it been something that arose organically, where the main first focus had been on let's create a currency for online video and then work out how we combine that with television, with outdoor, with print, etc., I think it might have actually got some of those political issues out of the way. There does seem to be movement, as we've discussed, so hopefully things are moving in the right direction. The other question I would have is Origin, or certainly Phil's been clear in recent communications that Origin is not a currency. It's bringing together currencies. But that does raise the question of, okay, well, if it's not a currency, then what currency is it using for Facebook, Google, and TikTok? And I suspect the answer is Origin is the currency for those people. So that's, again, goes back to my point of I wouldn't have started from where they started, but we are where we are.
No, good points. So I suppose to wrap up, any personal highlights for you other than the sheer joy and privilege of spending 3 days in Venice?
Yeah, well, we were very very lucky in that people's feedback has been extremely positive. There was a really good buzz around the place. Also, I guess one of my abiding memories will be the delight and surprise on the faces of the winners of the two Tony Twyman Awards, who genuinely seemed quite surprised and elated that they had won. We'll be putting the video. I think we've already put the video up of the winning radio paper, which everyone can watch, which was about watermarking alongside audio matching, which was from Yvette van der Berg of NMO and Jerome Schalkwyk of Ipsos. And then also we had the winning paper from the video session, which was the new measurement system bringing together broadcast VOD and social media in Singapore, which was presented by Giacomo Catanozzo of GfK. And both of them seem to be on stage long after the sessions had finished, having their photographs taken. So they clearly were delighted to do that. So it was nice to bring a smile to their face, not least because they were really good papers.
Yeah, and I think really, really good examples of some of the fantastic new systems that are being launched. So I agree. I mean, I think for me, I mean, one things I love is the ASI community, and it's obviously quite a lot of people there, but we still have a real family feel with lots of networking and chatting and friendships. But also, I think it's worth just taking a moment to stand back and just acknowledge how much innovation there's been. I think John Watts from SIM actually talked about this, how much innovation we've had in the last 10 years, and I think absolutely. I agree with that, and the prize winners you've just talked about, I think are some examples of that. So really great conference.
Well, the videos of all the sessions have been made available to attendees at the conference, but we're going to be gradually releasing some of the papers and sessions over the next month or so. So keep an eye on the ASI LinkedIn feeds and the website. But in the meantime, thanks for joining me, Catherine.
Oh, nice to see you.